What do the most successful growing businesses have in common? They're working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
In the Locker Room with Wolf and Starks on ESPN Pittsburgh and Steelers Nation Radio, presented by your neighborhood Ford store. The F-150 is the official truck of the Pittsburgh Steelers.
All right, this is one of my favorite guys, and I'm so grateful that he's going to join Max and I. Let's welcome Hall of Honor recipient, four-time Super Bowl champ, and 13-year veteran John Kolb into the Locker Room. Kolby, it's good to have you here. Thank you for coming on, brother.
I think you said the word there, brother.
No doubt about it. John, we're celebrating the life of Franco. And right now, because, you know, it's a heavy heart and everything, but there's so much good to remember. There's so much wonderful things that he was involved in that he did. And the first question I want to ask you is, what was football life like pre-Franco?
Well, my rookie year, we were 1-13. 1-13. We won our first game against Detroit, and then we lost 13 in a row. And I think the next year, I think we were 5-8 or 5. I don't remember. So we had not won. And then Franco came. They drafted Franco. And one of the first things I remember about Franco, I hadn't probably even talked to him, but and you probably remember too. We run a play in practice, 15 straight. That's Franco's play, And we're in the middle of the field. Franco runs to the goal line,
right?
And and it didn't matter. Franco ran to the goal line every play in practice. So I those things they stick in my mind. And, a lot of times, Franco wasn't in the weight room like you or Webby or some of the guys. But Franco trained. He had his routine that worked for him. And so I think before Franco was Franco, he was laying the, he had that Steeler mindset, that Steeler work ethic. So just from that standpoint, it wasn't something that just was an accident. I don't believe in accidents. I think Franco, from whenever he probably started playing sports, just had that that mindset.
Go ahead, Max.
Yeah, no, absolutely. John, I know a lot of us, we know, especially from my perspective, the man more so than the player. And you had a unique privilege and opportunity to block for him just as an athlete and a player on those squads. What was he like? What was his demeanor like in the huddle? Obviously, everybody had to listen to the quarterback to get the play. But what was Franco's demeanor in the huddle, especially when you knew he was getting a play call for him?
Yeah, the thing Max, and you'll and Craig too, appreciate this. We had certain plays, and depending on who we were playing against, and we call maximum protection, meaning that Franco was going to stay in or Rocky was going to stay in.
Yeah.
And Craig will tell you, if they said maximum protection and Franco was behind me, I'd say, Franco, go out for a pass. You didn't want Franco in maximum protection because, and Craig will tell you, Franco would shut his eyes and kind of fall in front of the guy, the linebacker, whoever he's supposed to block. But I don't know how many, you'd end up tripping over him. I mean, you got some guy, some Joe Klecko, and he's bull rushing you. And then you trip over Franco because he's in maximum protection.
And he's whiffing, right?
Yeah, and I'm not exaggerating. And so I remember you asked Jerry Mullins or the guys.
Right.
His, Franco, we called Franco Sting Beat.
I was going to ask you, you got to tell him the nickname you guys gave him.
Oh, my God. So
Franco's name to any of the linemen was not Franco, it was Stingbee. And Jerry Mullins gave him that name because Franco would go, you know, they'd, I don't know, 60 basic. And Franco would go, and then they may add max protection or something. And Mullins moves and go, no, Franco, just go out for a pass. And he said, no, I'm going to sting him this time. I'm really going to sting him this time. So he got the name Stingbee. And I think the only guys that know that are the linemen. We called him Stingbee. I mean, we called him Stingbee everywhere. I mean, on the field, off the field, in the off season. We didn't say Franco. It was Stingbee. Because he was going to sting him on the next play. Franco never did.
What a precious memory that is. That's so funny. Because he would just laugh, you know, when you called him, hey, Stingbee or Stinger. You know, he would just laugh and laugh and smile. Because his greatness was just so, you know, I mean, it was just, he was such a great player. But, yeah, he wasn't much for the blocking aspect, was he, John?
No. No, and seriously, you know as well as I do, and Max, it was probably that way with you. You know, the line coach didn't holler at Franco when he shut his eyes and we fell over.
Absolutely not.
It was our fault.
Exactly. You should have had eyes in the back of your head. What? Are
you
kidding me?
Should've. Yeah. Yeah. You know, and Terry, I'm off the subject a little bit. I just remember one time Terry would, he's right-handed quarterback. So he would set like on five-step drops and then he would start because he could see people coming to his right. I'm on the left side. So by the time he threw the ball half the time, he was behind the guard. And so I'm a tackle. I'm like blocking like a guard instead of a tackle. You can't run people. And one time I said to Raleigh, well, look, he's sitting right behind me. And I did, man, did that open up. I don't care where he sits.
I forgot Raleigh was just unmerciful with that, too. I mean, because no matter what you did, it was not Franco's fault. There was no doubt about it.
It wasn't Franco's fault. Yep.
Oh, my goodness. Now, John, do you got any special memories of Franco? And before we move on to the Immaculate Reception, because we're going to talk about that, too.
I guess even I think when you think of Franco, as you know, Craig, I don't know where I got this infection in my leg, but at some time after Thanksgiving, I got my right leg started swelling up, turned red. It was from the foot to the knee. Mm. And so I was in the hospital. The first guy that called was Franco.
Wow.
And so that meant a lot to me, because he always had time. And you do it. Rocky does it. Mm. And Franco as well. But, our nonprofit, ATP, we got to raise money because only 23% of our people have money that they can pay for for what we provide.
Right.
And so, Franco was, and Rocky, bunches of the guys are, yourself, but, they're always available. The other day, Faith was talking about your wife, Faith.
Yes.
She brought some of the Light of Life people in.
Yeah.
And some of the Light of Life people knew Franco.
Yeah.
And some of them were telling me about it. And think about that.
Yeah.
Light of Life people, people that have been homeless,
yeah,
knew Franco.
Yeah.
So, I mean, those are things that, I don't know, they don't go on a resume. I don't know where you put that on the resume,
no,
but those are things that are the things that really count.
You know, John, it's hard to quantify what Franco meant to the organization, what it meant to the city of Pittsburgh, and what it meant to you individually, because you had that great one-on-one with him, being with him for so many years. When you went into the Immaculate Reception, try to set up the play for us. What I mean, wow, it's such a powerful moment in the history of the NFL. If you can share
in
a little
my
bit
mind,
with us.
Craig,
yeah,
that play was set up the week before.
Really?
Yeah, because we were in San Diego the last regular season game, and we were playing in San Diego. We're playing the San Diego Chargers, obviously, but. We have a half a game up on the Browns, and the Browns are playing on the East Coast, and so we're watching the Browns, and if the Browns win, we got to beat San Diego to get in the playoffs. If the Browns lose, then the pressure's gone. We don't have to beat San Diego. And so watch the game and the Browns win. We go downstairs before the pregame meal, and as you know, we have a chapel service.
Right.
And I remember the person giving the chapel talk. He said to Ray Mansfield, "Do you pray before the game?" And Ray goes, "Yes." And he says, "Well, what do you pray for?" And he goes, "Well, I pray that nobody gets hurt, and there's no car accidents, and that our families are safe while we're gone, and the best team wins." I think he said that. And he goes, "Really?" And he says, is that what's really on your heart? Don't you want to have a good game? Don't you want to win?" And Ray goes, "Yeah, yeah." And he says, "Well, why do you hold what's in your heart behind your back like God can't see it? And then you pray things you hold in your hand that are like Mary Poppins."
Wow.
The best. Yeah. And so the whole, he wasn't trying to really give a talk on God is a favorite and if we pray to win.
Right.
But the talk was really about being honest with God.
Right.
And so that really stuck with me, being honest with God. And so he said, and the Bible talks about coming to God as a child. And the child, spills what's on his heart. They're honest with God. And so, a child might pray to win. And if you're praying like it. So anyway, we're in the huddle. We're ahead. We've been ahead the whole game.
Right.
We were ahead 6-0. Then Ken Stabler runs up the sideline, scores. And now we're down. And we ran three plays, and so it's 4th and forever. And Terry calls the Immaculate Reception play in the huddle. And I'm playing left tackle. So I'm turning inside. Ray Mansfield is the center. He's turning into me. Sam Davis is between us. And as we broke the huddle, we called the play. And as he broke the huddle, Ray Mansfield goes, "Well, somebody forgot to pray to win."
Oh, God.
And
funny.
Came up to the line. Harry called the play. I knew the play wouldn't work because it didn't work in practice. So I let my guy inside just a little bit. And so if you watch it, everybody will see it again. Max, that's the worst. If you watch that whole game, that was my first year to start. I don't know what I'm doing as a tackle anyway. But it wasn't a bad game. But on that play, it was the worst play for me of the game. And my guy comes inside, and Terry steps to his right. But the truth is, I had to let that happen so Franco could get down the field.
Exactly. There we go. Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely. It was exactly how you drew it up, John, in your head.
Yeah, that's the way I drew it up.
Exactly. No, you got to let that go. Because I've watched the play, and I'm like, did the guard get beat on the inside? Because you saw Terry go to the right, and then he comes back left around the other defender. I don't know who came off the left side and was, like, circling back, and then he kind of weaved in between and then releases the football. So I was thinking the guard got beat, so I wasn't even thinking about you. You still had your block in my mind.
Yeah, so I had to worry about that on purpose. Yeah.
Yeah. See, so exactly.
I have to sacrifice my
your grade.
Yeah.
Exactly. But that's what a lineman is. A lineman is self-sacrificial.
That's what we do.
We sacrifice for the greater good. Immaculate reception does not happen without you allowing and having the foresight to know that you need to move Terry right before he can come back left.
That's correct.
Precisely. And then what do they do?
Influence block.
And what do they do? Yeah. What do they do, Max? They give Franco a statue at the airport.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. What do I get? I get to look dumb on the most popular play in the history of football. I get to look dumb.
Yeah, exactly. You get a minus when they go through the grading sheet. I get a minus. He gets a statue. I mean, that's the variability of it.
Yep.
John, in the immediate after effect, the mob scene was incredible. What was it like with the crush of people all around?
During the game, like?
Right at the end. When he crossed into the end zone, there was just fans pouring out onto the field.
They were. It was mayhem. And somebody said later, because it took the officials several minutes to signal touchdown. And I don't know. I don't think they had the instant replay going. But I think what happened is with all the fans coming down on the field, the officials weren't about to signal anything but a touchdown. Because they needed to get out of the stadium alive. You know?
That's unbelievable. What was the post-game locker room like? I mean, were you able to get everybody corralled amongst all the celebrations and the chaos and everything?
Yeah, you know, and Craig, I don't know, Max, what it was more of like in your era, but I remember some of our Super Bowls, and I really don't remember specifically because everybody – you know, your brains were on fire.
Yeah.
It was like, what just happened?
Yes.
Because everything was lost. Everything was lost. And then all of a sudden, it wasn't lost. And it truly, I don't think the play would have been as great a play if it would have happened in Dallas or Cincinnati or anywhere else. You had to have not only the players like Franco and me setting the whole thing up, you know, being unselfish.
Yeah, of course, you being unselfish.
Yeah.
Yes.
But it had to be Pittsburgh because those people came down out of the stands and people still like to ask the stupid question, well, did the ball really hit Frenchie and all that stuff?
Right.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter.
Yeah,
yeah.
It doesn't. At the end of the day, it doesn't.
At the end of the day, we won the game. It's called and – And
that's it. Oh,
absolutely.
Kobe.
And I agree with you, John. Like, it's one of those things that even though, you know, the two Super Bowls that we won when I was playing, like, I don't remember specific moments, like, in my head. Like, I have to go back and, like, watch it to relive
it. Right.
And then it kind of, it's like jumper cables. It just starts you like, oh, yeah, now I remember. But because, it, like you said, your hair's on fire, you go kind of black on things because of those moments. And then you watch, you're like, oh, yeah, that did happen. Oh, yeah, I do remember that exactly. Or you see photos from, like, your family coming on the field. Like, hey, remember this photo? I'm like, nope, but now I do. Those moments for us, because we're so conditioned as players to go to the next play, next game, next week, what's the schedule, and you're just so used to being on that conveyor belt. We never really reflect, because they say if you reflect, that means you're thinking about retirement, right? So you're always taught to just continually look forward and just compress it into your mind. So I completely agree.
The way I've always thought about it is I always thought there was a game within a game.
Right.
And there's a game that everybody watches, you know, the 22 guys out on the field.
Yeah.
But, Max, there's the game, and Craig,
between
you and Joe Klecko,
right,
or you and Harvey Martin.
Right.
And so people that are not really Steelers fans will know those Joe Klecko. Joe Klecko played defensive end for the Jets, and Joe Klecko could just stand at that NFL strongman contest, 250 pounds. I think he pressed it 22 times or something.
It's something ridiculous.
And anyway, Max, he came off the ball one time, caught me under the armpits, and just picked me up, took me back. So you had to be you had to break down, and so you got the game within the game.
Yeah.
And so when all that major stuff happens that everybody sees, you're still in your game, and you don't even know. You don't even know what the score is.
Yeah. Exactly. Colby, I got to thank you so much for taking time. I know you got to get back to what you're doing, but Adventures in Training with a Purpose, this is out there. Do you know your website now, or is Caleb nearby?
Caleb is climbing rocks. He's actually belaying Tanner. This is kind of neat. The boys and my grandson are together. We're at a rock climbing place in Squirrel Hill, I think we're at. See, I don't even know where we're at.
you're in the contest within the contest. There you go. It's Adventures in Training with a Purpose.
I think
you can Google that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So ATP, Adventures in Training with a Purpose.
There you go.
Yeah, you can look that on the website. You'll see what we do, taking the veterans that we work with.
Right.
And we've got a lady, may I add, her name is Faith Wolfley. She comes in and teaches a couple days a week, mostly to the Light of Life people.
Right.
And she is an amazing, amazing, you know, Craig, she teaches every week she comes in. You know, the other day we had a guy that he was really struggling. He took a bullet in the head in Afghanistan.
Mm, mm.
And it's just his head, you know, you can see this big scar.
Oh, my goodness.
And so it's brought a lot of anxiety and depression.
Mm-hmm.
And I was kind of bummed. So Faith comes up to me. And she says, John, you don't have to fix him. You just got to tell him about Jesus.
There you go.
She's always got some little one sentence. So you're married to her, so I'm sure it's happened to you.
You know what? All I can say is I am grateful because my bride is, I'm a walking dumpster fire without her.
Yeah.
Oh, John, I want to thank you so much. I appreciate you, brother. God bless you. Appreciate your time.
God bless you guys.
Okay. Oh, thank you, John.
Thank you.
Thank you, John. And, of course, that is the great John Cole. Max, we got to go to break, and we got more calls coming up.
Absolutely. Well, hey, you heard the man. We're in the locker room, Wolf and Starks, here on SNR and ESPN Radio.
This is In the Locker Room with Wolf and Starks on ESPN Pittsburgh and Steelers Nation Radio, presented by your neighborhood Ford store. The F-150 is the official truck of the Pittsburgh Steelers.
All right, we're going to head right to the phones here. We got Darren. Darren, you're in the locker room, brother.
Hey, can you hear me okay, guys?
Gotcha. Okay. You betcha.
Yes.
Okay. Well, first of all, I want to say thank you very much for taking my phone call to express my love and gratitude to that wonderful man, Franco Harris, that I actually had the opportunity to meet several times. And I'll try to be quick because I know there's plenty of people want to call and express, you know, their same, you know, concerns. But first of all, guys, you know, Steeler Nation is definitely, definitely hurting. I found out yesterday when I was on shift at the fire hall, and a buddy of mine that I work with, we're both diehard Steeler fans with my brother and stuff, and we're checking off our equipment, and we're watching the TV and the radio and stuff, or listening to radio, and they're talking about the game coming up and, you know, who's starting and this and that, and nothing was ever said about, you know, the situation that just unfolded on us. But I came back in, and then all of a sudden I see the breaking news, and I mean, I just literally just dropped to my knees and start thinking about those opportunities that I was fortunate enough to meet him and things like that. But it goes way back when I was born and raised in Indianapolis. We moved out to Reston, Virginia, and growing up back in the 60s, we didn't have the Colts. My dad was like, hey, Bears, Packers, who's playing good? We move out there, and we're like, who are we rooting for? He goes, hey, we're going to root for the Redskins. Me and my brother looking at, what, the Redskins? So he looked at us and said, hey, you know what? The Steelers are playing. Somebody else is playing. Why don't y'all pick a team and stay with them for the rest of your life? Lo and behold, I picked the Steelers, me and my brother. We stayed with them to this day. We'll always stay and be a Steeler Nation. But what happened on that first meeting back in those days when opposing teams played each other in preseason, a lot of times those players would go stay with those other players and stuff, and the Banzingers called us up and said, hey, I hear your Bell brothers are Steeler fans. We got a surprise for you. We go over there to see what's going on, and sure enough, Franco walks out of this house. And me and my brother looking going, are you kidding me? So that was the first meeting. The second meeting, I moved to Nashville, Tennessee. I worked for the fire department. I had the opportunity to go to the playoff game, and Franco and Stallworth attended that game. It was that famous where the fake kick or whatever, what happened. But I'm trying to get a ticket settled for my friend that came down with my brother. My brother calls me on the phone and says, hey, you won't believe you just missed Franco and Stallworth. I'm ready to beat up Brett going, are you kidding me? Well, he tells me what Franco has on, this trench coat, green, army green. Well, our tickets, we're walking up in the three-level section, and I'm looking up, and I'm going, hey, I think that's Franco sitting up there in Stallworth. And sure enough, right in front of our empty, the empty seats in front of them is our seat. I turn around, I look, and a lot of people are like, not, you know, cluing in on what's going on. They had a security guy in the middle down there. So I sat there and said, Franco, Stallworth, what the heck are y'all doing way up here? Why aren't you in like a private suite or whatever? And they're like, buddy, when we go to these games, we like to get out and get with the crowd, the Steeler Nation. And sure enough, there was a bunch of fans up there. And I'm just laughing. So each time I went to a concession stand, I would ask them, hey, do you want anything? They're like, no, we're good, we're good. Well, reporters come and it's starting to get exciting. Franco walks down. The security guy was ready to go with him. And he said, no, I'm good. He walks all the way down. I see him throw his hands up. He turns around and walks back up to the end of the aisle where we're sitting at. And he points down. And I always go by my niche. He said, hey, DB, you guys need anything from the concession stand before I come back? And I'm just laughing going, Franco, come on, man. No. Hurry up. You're going to miss the game. And I'm like, wow, what a, this guy is something else. And then one guy had an Eddie George jersey, wanted him to sign. And he goes, I can't sign that jersey. Come on, man. So the last meeting, I worked the Super Bowl down in New Orleans. Baltimore Ravens and 49ers were playing. 2 days early, we're out hanging out at the casino. And I'm playing blackjack with Baltimore Ravens fans, players, I'm sorry. And Franco walks by. And I turned and looked, I said, hey, guys, that's Franco Harris. He looked at me like, hey. And I said, hey, Franco, come here. And I'm the Ravens players looking, going, this is crazy. So I'm telling him the story about back at Tennessee at that game, and he remembers it to the T.
Wow.
And I'm like in tears laughing. And then I bust up the whole party. I said, Would you believe this? I'm with Franco Harris with these dang old knucklehead Baltimore Ravens player winning them money, Franco. Can you believe this? He just started laughing and stuff. But, guys, we normally travel to Cincinnati, me and my brother. I drive up from Tennessee to meet him. We've been doing it for like 30 years. Then we go to a home game. We went last year to the Titans Steelers game. We were trying to go this year for this one because our uncle is a diehard Raiders fan, but I'm on shift Saturday. So I couldn't make it. So a lot of friends, you know, I express my condolence. You know, I hope the family and I hope Steeler Nation is listening to what you guys are doing today. And it started when the Lord was taking someone special and it was for a reason. And we're laughing. We're happy. We're talking about all these stories. And it is a tough, tough thing to do. But I hope that family is healing as best way they can, and listen to the people of Steeler Nation, people of anybody, if you're not a Steeler Nation fan. But what this guy brought to this world, to this life, it is a celebration of life. And I am so blessed that I had the opportunity. I know people, when they hear these stories, well, I didn't get to meet him like that. But hearing these stories, they know that how special this guy was.
No
and
doubt
I just
about
want to
it.
Say thank you. Yeah, thank you for letting me speak this. It has helped me heal. I will be watching the game, taping the game on shift. Hopefully the tone doesn't go off. I hope everybody in that stadium has a terrible towel starting to wave. And then when they start waving it, you know, to use it to wipe their tears, maybe we need to come up with a towel, an angel towel for him or something. But guys, thank you.
Thank you, Darren.
And,
I appreciate
you. Much blessing
you.
Yes. And happy holidays to you guys. Bro.
Merry Christmas, brother, from both Max
Merry
and
Christmas.
I.
Merry Christmas.
Yes.
Yeah.
No doubt about it, Max. This is so healing. It just feels good. You hear the stories, and you know, you just wow. So, Max, we got another gentleman. Let's hit him. It's Tim. Why don't you take it, brother?
All right, Tim. You're on the line. You're in the locker room. How are you today?
All right, guys. I'm a little bit better than yesterday. I just want to just again, like Darren just said, I don't have a story to compare with his. But what you guys are doing is definitely a blessing to all of us out here. I get pretty choked up talking about this.
It's okay, man. We all do.
Yeah, I can't help it. I mean, I usually laugh when I watch the replay of the Immaculate Reception, him catching that deflection and running down the sideline and scoring to beat the Raiders. But yesterday when I saw it, I teared up.
Yeah.
And because I actually saw that on TV. Mm-hmm. You know, I was one of the lucky ones that was able to watch it on an Ohio TV station since we were living in Elwood City, only about a half hour north of the stadium. Mm. So, but, yeah, you know, it was a gut punch. Like Joe Green said, wake me up from this nightmare.
Yeah.
But God only wants the good ones, man. You know, he only wants the good ones, and he got a great one because all these calls add up to exactly what I always thought of Franco Harris was, because my story is I was at the Penn State Blue-White game. He was there watching his brothers. I didn't even know. He must have come in behind us. My roommate and another guy and I went down from Lock Haven where we were going to school, and because we were big Penn State fans, and he must have come in behind us after we had already been seated. He was two bleacher rows behind us. And all these people all of a sudden just came running up the aisles. And we're like, what's going on? We turned behind us, and there he is. And they're asking for autographs and everything like that. And I'm sitting there myself, I am not going to ask him for an autograph. I'm just going to just ask him for 10 seconds of his time. He gave me 5 minutes.
Wow.
And all we just talked about were his brothers playing, and my cousin had gone to school with him. She had catered some of his events, his parties, and she, you know, he knew who she was. And I just said, Franco, I don't want your autograph. It's just an honor to be sitting here watching this with you and knowing that you gave me your time. And all these people verified that he's just an individual that never forgot where he came from.
Yeah.
And
very
that's,
true.
That's the thing. Yeah, he and. I have his replica of his Super Bowl X jersey. I'll put it on my son on Saturday night.
Yeah.
And mainly because my son's 245, and with me, it's going to look, I'm only 185, but it'll look like a nightgown on me. It's one of the size 50 replicas. So, but yeah, again, the timing of it all is what really hurts. I mean, we saw Coach Noel go. We saw, you know, the Chief go. Yeah. I mean, this, you know, Willie Stargell, we knew he was sick. This ranks right up there with Roberto Clemente.
Yeah.
But it's just the timing of it all, what we were going to recognize him and retire his number. But I'm blessed that you guys are reaching out to everybody and giving us time to, you know, pretty much just, you know, heal ourselves.
This is what it's all about, man. We're all grieving together because we're all Franco fans. Well, you know, Franco.
If this isn't what Darren said, we're, you know, this is family.
Yeah.
This goes deeper than just, I'm not a fan. Yeah. I'm not a fan. The Steelers are family to me. When they play well, I'll tell them. But when they play lousy, I make no people just look at me and like, what? You're going to talk bad about your team? I said, yeah. Hey, one of my family members goes out and does something stupid. I'm not going to back them up. Stupid is stupid. Bad is bad. But good is good. Yeah. And you're talking about good, you know, Franco Harris.
This is a great,
wonderful individual. Yeah. God got the best.
You bet,
hey,
your
guys,
brother.
I really thank you. I know other people want to talk right now. All right?
All right, take care.
Have a happy holiday. God bless you all. You, Wes, everybody there in the studio.
Well, thank you. God bless you, too, and happy holidays.
Amen. Yes.
Yeah, this is tremendous. All right, Wolf, what do we
Let's go to break, and then we got to come back. We got a couple more, okay?
Oh, yeah, we got to be quick with this break, too. All right, hey, going to break. We'll be back in a moment with your calls here in the locker room. Wolf Starks, ESPN, SNR Radio.
Is In the Locker Room with Wolf and Starks on ESPN Pittsburgh and Steelers Nation Radio, presented by your neighborhood Ford store. The F-150 is the official truck of the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Three callers left. Let's go right into it. We got Jim in D.C. Jim, you're in the locker room, brother.
Hey, how you doing, man?
Doing good. How are you doing, my friend?
Happy holidays, dude.
Merry Christmas. Happy holidays to you, too.
Yeah, man, I grew up in Pittsburgh, on Hill District. Hold on one second. I grew up on Hill District in Pittsburgh.
You got your radio on there? Just turn that baby down.
Yeah, I'm trying to turn it off.
Yeah, I have mechanical problems. I still hear the echo.
I'm sorry.
There we go. Nope.
Great. I'm a Pittsburgh native. I'm down here in D.C. But I grew up in Pittsburgh, and one of the more poignant things that the lineman said about Franco was that he always had time. And he made time for us. He spent some time over at Trees Hall playing basketball with us on Sunday night. And he would come in, and we have to wait to go in to play basketball. He would come in and stand in the hallway with us. And the people would say, Franco, you can go ahead. He said, no, I'm going to stand on top of the guys.
Yeah, that's
funny. And he would spend that kind of time with us and go up and play basketball with us. And we would ask him the question about the immaculate reception. And he'd look at his sleepless man face. I'll never change. and then over on, I think they would spend some time and practice with us. There's two more things to practice with us. This thing, maybe even whatever.
I'm sorry, brother. You're breaking up here a little bit, but. We're going to have to move on. We got two other callers, but I want to thank you so very much for joining in and sharing with us your interaction with Franco, because it's so important. It's important to hear what you got to say, important for the others to hear your interaction with Franco. We love that. Thank you so much. Let's move. Here we got Lawrence in North Carolina. Lawrence, you're in the locker room, buddy.
How you doing? I call you Tunch. How you doing?
It's Wolf? Okay, brother. I've been called that many times, and it's always a privilege.
Well, listen, I called you last week, and I told you I lived in North Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
And I went to the Pittsburgh Steelers game this past weekend. I went up there. It was like a sea of black and gold. And you asked me, you said, well, who did you like the best, or who's your favorite player? And I had a chance to think about it. And out of all the players on there, I love them all. But to me, L.C. Greenwood was kind of – Mean Joe Green did a lot for the team. But when Mean Joe was not having a really great game, L.C. would pick it up. So L.C. Greenwood, to me, I would love – that would be my best favorite player. I mean, Franco did a lot, throws it to him. But I just L.C. and those yellow shoes that he used to wear, man.
Yes, yes.
I just want to say Merry Christmas to you all and be blessed.
Thank you so much. We appreciate you, brother. Yes, thank you. Merry Christmas to you. Well, Max, we got one more. It's Austin. We got Austin in Georgia. Come on in the locker room, Austin.
Wolf, my friend, how are you?
I'm good, brother. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Just a real quick Franco story, two of them, actually. First of all, Franco, when you were in his presence, he was completely tuned into what you had to say. And the last time I saw him at length, got to sit next to him at dinner for a Donnie Shell's scholarship fundraiser down in Augusta, and he was one of the many Steeler guests, and I was just happened to be sitting next to him, and he loved my story about how I became a Steeler fan. I'm 57, in our way to the game right now from Augusta, and I didn't see the Immaculate Reception, but I heard it. My grandfather and father were in the house. We were outside playing football, and we heard yells, screams, and thunder. The Christmas decorations on the porch swinging back and forth, and ran in the house to see what in the world was going on. I'm 7 years old. My father was on the floor, covered in beer. My grandfather had fallen out of his chair. Popcorn chips all over the place. It was and my grandmother laughing hysterically. And I didn't know what had happened, but I knew that if you could have that much fun and your grandmother not be fussing about it, that's something I needed in on. And I became a Steelers fan right that very minute.
That's terrific, man.
That is one of the best. Oh, my gosh.
And Franco loved that, and I got to tell him that story a couple of times. And again, he was tuned in to everything he had to say. I showed him a picture one time that I had taken, and he was saying, you're wearing number 20 there. Is that your jersey that you wear? And I said, yeah, Rocky's my favorite player. And he says, you know what, Rocky's my favorite player too. I would wear his jersey too if they didn't make me wear his. Make me wear mine. But anyway, it's always a pleasure to talk to you, Wolf. I really appreciate all that you and Max are doing. Love listening to you online every chance we get. And we will see you in Pittsburgh. And when I hug you on the sideline, Wolf, I'll try not to get any of my cologne on you.
There you go. Yeah, there you go. All right. Thank you so much, brother. I appreciate those memories and the cologne. Not a problem. Oh, gosh.
Absolutely.
Max, this is really – it helps. It's – you know, nothing's going to take away the pain. Nothing's going to take away the anguish. Time is the greatest healer. But, just hearing people's stories, it's awesome. So, thanks, Max, for riding along with me on this. It hasn't been easy.
No, it has not. But you know what? It's not supposed to be, because that just shows you the type of impact that Franco's had on all of us. And his reach goes well beyond just the city of Pittsburgh and just being a Steeler. He was truly a global citizen that also just happened to be a Steeler along the way. And that's the stories we hear. That's the love that we hear pouring out. And we thank you all for the calls over these last 2 days, because it's helped us. I know we seem like we're in a better mood, but at the end of the day, we're just clowns with a smile painted on our face. We're still hurting and grieving, you know. But we thank you all, and we truly appreciate you all. And like I said, we're gonna do our darndest to make sure that heaven hears our screams and our yells to let Franco know how much we love him on Saturday night. So come out, come one, come all. It's going to be a celebration of the life of a tremendous man, not just a football player.
Amen.
So you've been in the locker room today with Wolf and Starks. We'll be back tomorrow, same bat channel, same bat time, here on SNR and ESPN Radio.
Refinancing your car at Kemba Financial Credit Union can get you quick access to cash to help manage high-rate debts and expenses. Get up to $500 next day cash back, plus no payments for 90 days, and take cash equity out. Make your car work for you and drive away with extra cash. Apply at Kemba.org. Restrictions apply. Offer ends April 30th, 2024. Federally insured by NCUA.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.